fourth chapter of Ezekiel, so have your Bibles handy, and then during the course of the sermon, keep your Bibles close by, because I'll be reading some other scriptures. To begin, I'll be reading from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1. Prophet Ezekiel said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." Go to the 11th verse. "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Turn back to the 34th chapter. I'm going to read from the 11th verse. "For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick." And I'm going to end the reading for now at that scripture. I want you to notice what I have read are scriptures about the end time. They are end time promises of what's going to take place in the end time. And this is what is important this morning. They are now being fulfilled. After all of these years, 2,600 years ago, Ezekiel was given a prophecy about the end time, and I have read from two chapters about how in the end time God would have the nation of Israel return to their homeland after having been scattered around into the nations of the world. And listen to me, if you will, this morning, because of Israel, the failure to obey God, the failure to keep the commandments of God, the failure to be what God would have them to be, the Bible says that He allowed them to be overrun by the enemy and to be scattered. And then when Jesus came on the scene, they rejected Him. The Jews rejected the Messiah, and in the year A.D. 70, Titus, the Roman general, came with his forces and surrounded Jerusalem and besieged the city and destroyed the city and took the Jews captive and they spread out around the world. And listen, from that day, until my generation, from that day until the last century, that had not been fulfilled. But God said in these scriptures that I've read, in the last days, I'm going to visit my people Israel in the various nations of the world where they have been scattered, wherever they might be, and I'm going to bring them back home. I'm going to bring them to their homeland, and they will once again be a nation. Stay with me here. I graduated from high school in 1948, and the month before I graduated, Israel was in battle. They said the Jews had come back home. Many of them, thousands of them, had come back home, and now they were being, the battle, warfare was raging. It looked as if Israel would be defeated. They'd go down. And God came on the scene and fought with Israel, and they won their independence.
May the 14th, 1948, they won their independence and became a nation again for the first time in 2,600 years. They had their own prime minister. His name was Ben-Gurion. They had their own flag, the Star of David. And here is Ezekiel, the prophet of God, saying, in the last days, God's going to bring His people back home from the nations of the world, and they're going to be made a nation again, and I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to feed them, and I'm going to look after them, I'm going to take care of them. And it's happened in my generation. We're living in the last days. They're still coming back to Jerusalem. They're still coming back from the nations of the world. A few years ago, our church gave monies, sent monies for Jews to come back from Russia. The time was drawing close, and the Russian government said, no Jew is going to be able to leave Russia after a certain date. And so I took their money to bring some of those Jews out of Russia that wanted to come back home, and they went back to Israel. I'm telling you today that what I have read and what I'm mentioning, we are living close to the end. It's almost over. It's happened in our lifetimes, and Israel is now back home. I say this before I go on in the sermon. Israel has fought battles since 1948. I was attending a revival meeting in 1967 during the Six-Day War. A man by the name of E.M. Ward, that was the preacher of the Assemblies of God revival time. Maybe you have heard him. He's gone on now, but he was a revival time preacher, Assemblies of God, an internationally known man. And he was there for revival, and when the Six-Day War broke out, rather than preaching revival, he preached on prophecy, how that the Bible was being fulfilled right before our eyes. During the Six-Day War, how Israel was seemingly going to be overrun by Egypt and Syria and Jordan and Saudi Arabia and the tanks and the aircraft and all the rest. And in 6 days, God gave Israel the victory. That was God. Then there was the 1973 war. Then there's been the time with Hamas, Hezbollah. Iran has declared to wipe them off the map. And a lot now, Egypt has a new leader, and the leader that they had had made a declaration with Israel that they would be friends with him, and now they have a new leader in Egypt, and he's declared to defeat Israel and destroy them. And it's by that same way by so many, but listen closely. God said, I will bring them back from the nations of the world, and I will take care of them, and I will be their God, and they'll be my people. Mark this down. Israel is back home. They're back in their homeland. And not Iran, and not Syria, and not Russia, nor China, nor Hamas, nor Hezbollah is going to be able to take it from them. It's theirs forever. But I'll leave one other thing with you. Israel is not yet finished with warfare. They've got one more war before the Battle of Armageddon. One more battle before the Battle of Armageddon. Many of them will die because they've rejected Christ. But there's coming a time when they will all be home and turn to God, and God will bless them. I have read about these scriptures in the 34th verse, 34th chapter that I read. You might not have caught it from the 11th verse through the 15th or the 16th that I just read. Let me just share something with you. In the 11th verse, he said, I will go search my sheep and seek them out. In the 13th verse, I will bring them out from the people. The 14th verse, I will feed them in good pasture. 15th verse, I will feed my flock. 16th verse, I will seek that which was lost. I want to preach this morning on, I will. One other scripture. It's found in the 41st chapter of Isaiah. In the last part of the 9th verse, and then the 10th verse. This is a special scripture to me. Some of you have heard me tell it. I'll tell it again. The night that I was called to preach, God gave me this scripture. He said, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Listen to this. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yea, I will. And I forgot the last part right then. I put the emphasis on the I will. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with, I will, yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Three times God says in the 10th verse, I will, I will, I will. And I want to preach this morning, I will. Listen closely to what I say now. If God tells you He will do something, mark it down. He'll do it. He never fails. He's God, and He will do it. I'm not going to ask you to turn to every scripture, but in the 6th chapter of John, the Bible says, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord is saying, if you come, I will save. Last Sunday morning, Anita came, prayed the sinner's prayer, asking God to forgive. He says, if you'll come, I will save. On another occasion, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me make a statement here as strongly as I possibly can. There is no real peace. There is no real rest without the Lord Jesus Christ. You can search the world over, but until Jesus comes into your heart, there is no real peace and rest. Think about it. Jesus, the Christ of glory, left the splendors of heaven and came to this earth, took on the form of man, that He might redeem us from our sins, that He might save us. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad that He came. Hallelujah. He came to redeem us and to save us. He came to give life for those of us who are dead. He came to give His own life that we might have life. He came to die that we might live. He came to forgive and wash our sins away that we might be born again. He came to save us from our sins. I'm saying this morning, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember, you come, He says, I will save. Let me just testify. We've been preaching in this church since 1978, September 1978. I don't know how many have raised their hands wanting to be a Christian, wanting to be saved. I have no idea how many have stepped out and walked down, stood or knelt in the altar and prayed. I cannot tell you how many. Some raised their hands. Some walked down the aisle. And I leave that between them and God. But some did not go on with God. Some dropped out. Some didn't follow through. So I leave this with you today. It's not enough to raise your hand recognizing the fact that you need Savior. It's not enough to walk down the aisle and pray with the preacher or someone else around the altar asking God to forgive you. That's wonderful, but that's not enough. The Bible says, He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. He that crosses the finish line with victory, the same shall be saved. He that keeps on serving God, keeps on loving God, keeps on going, keeps on being what God would have us to be. And the Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And now we say, if you'll just come, I will save. Aren't you glad? Amen. Let me bring another scripture to our mind. Turn with me, if you will, to the 8th chapter of Matthew. 8th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to read 3 verses. Verses 5, 6, and 7. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion, beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. Here's a Gentile, a Roman soldier, that has a servant that is sick. And he comes to Jesus and says, my servant needs help. And Jesus says, I will come and heal him. Another time in the 1st chapter of Mark, He says, and there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him and saying unto Him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him. Listen to this, and said, I will be thou clean. Now stay with me here. Jesus said to the centurion, I will come and heal your servant. He says to the leper, I will heal. He touched him, and immediately he was made whole. I will. And the leper said, if you would, you could. Jesus says, I can, I will. I will heal. If we can understand this morning, not only does Jesus save, but He heals. I know it's hard sometimes for us to grasp, why this one is healed and this one is not healed. I mentioned that in Sunday school. Why in the same service, one might be healed and another not healed. Both of them loving God, both of them serving God. Why? Why is the question raised? And I leave that with God. But I want everyone to understand this morning, not only does Jesus save, He heals. He's the healer. I cannot heal, but a car cannot heal, my wife cannot heal, but He does. He's the healer. And I'm glad this morning that I know of a fact what I'm talking about, knowing that He is a loving God, a compassionate Savior, and He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the Bible says, and He reached out and touched the leper and healed him. He heals. I want to read some verses from Isaiah. Surely He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed and stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we're healed. Brother Jones, I don't understand it, neither do I, but He's the healer. Can you say amen? Several of you have been healed. You have felt the touch of the Master. You know it's real. You've seen people healed. You know that God's the healer. Let me leave this with you this morning. God has not changed. If there's a physical need in your life, He is still the healer today. He's the answer to every need of our lives. Let me just share our testimony one more time. Forgive me, but let me share it one more time. When God says, I will, He means I will. I've told you this over and over again, but I'm going to tell you one more time. And if it doesn't bless you, it blesses me. That's all right. I remember so plainly a night for prayer meeting. Our son had a brain tumor. They were begging to operate. We had a prayer meeting, and in that prayer meeting, God spoke. We're Pentecostal, we believe in the Bible. He spoke with a message in tongues, an interpretation of tongues. Just as plain as I'm speaking, because it was in the English language. He used one in tongues and one in English to give the interpretation. And God said, if you will trust me, speaking to my wife and I, praying for our son that was with a brain tumor, if you will trust me, God said, I will heal. I'm preaching about I will. That was 1960, in the month of August, when Mike was 3 years old. A perfectly healthy boy. And all of a sudden, he's losing all control of his body. Couldn't hold a spoon in his hand. Couldn't feed himself. Couldn't walk. Couldn't even hold his eyelids up. They were falling, and he would try to look back, hold his head back so he might be able to see just a little bit, with a little bit of opening there. Couldn't do anything. God spoke and said, if you will trust me, I will heal him. Thursday came and went, and he got worse. Friday came and went, and he got worse. Doctors are begging my wife. While I was on the job begging my wife, let us operate. We can operate now. We know where the tumor is. Let us operate. My wife said, God has spoken and said, He'll heal. Saturday came and went. Sunday came and went. I preached Sunday morning in Sierra Vista. Went to the hospital in Tucson Sunday afternoon. Went back Sunday night. The priest left my wife at the hospital with our son, 3 years old, with a brain tumor. Couldn't set up. Couldn't do anything. Got up the next morning, went on the job to carry mail. I was a mail carrier, starting a new church. When I got home that afternoon, the phone rang and my wife said these words, "Honey, come get us." I knew we didn't have any other children. We didn't have any of her relatives with us. She said, "Come get us." I said, "What's happened?" She said, "The Lord healed him. He's been discharged from the hospital. Come get us. He's healed." August 1960, 52 years ago, and it's still healed this morning. You know what I'm preaching about? When God says, "I will," He will. "I will save. I will heal." Don't ever give up. You say, "But Brother Jones, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed." I imagine Job did the same thing, but he kept on praying and believing. He had his eyes on God. He trusted in God, and God brought him through, brother. I still believe in healing today. Amen. He's a good God, and He loves us. He says, "I will save and I will heal." Hallelujah. Then I would like to go to the first chapter, 14th chapter of John. And I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but Jesus told His disciples that "I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be put to death." But then He says something like this: "They're going to take my life, and I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again from the dead, and I'm going to go back to the Father." Then He said these words: "And when I get to the Father, I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Ghost. Not only will He be in you, with you, but He will be in you. When I get back to the Father, I will send the Holy Ghost." And they didn't understand it. And they asked questions, and He said this. He said to His disciples, "It is necessary. It is expedient for you that I go away. I know that you want me to stay. I'm with you. We've enjoyed fellowship, but I must go away for your sake. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send Him unto you, that where He is, where the Lord can be with us all the time, not only with us, but in us." He said, "When I get there, I will send the Holy Ghost." And the 12th and the 2nd chapter of Acts says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there were cloven tongues like as a fire that came and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance." God said, the Lord said, "I will send the Holy Ghost." And He said it just like He said. What a God. What a mighty God. He says, "I will save. I will heal. I will send the Holy Ghost." And He did. And you can mark it down, whatever God tells you, He will do it. I've mentioned my dad, and I'm afraid sometimes I've left the wrong impression. My dad was a big man, and he gave us big whippings. When I said big whippings, he was never abusive. He never overdid it. We thought everyone was overdid it. But he would cry. And he'd speak to us, talk to us. "The only reason, son, that I have to do this is because I don't want you to grow up and be a misfit. I want you to love God and serve. And remember, if you'll obey God, everything will be all right. And if you obey me, you wouldn't have this." And we were hard-headed. We'd get another whipping the next week. Maybe the next day. Maybe the same day. But I said all of that to say this. My daddy was tender. He would cry and cry because he didn't want to have to discipline us. But he knew that it was important. And did you know today that God disciplines those He loves? The Bible says so. He says, "You're my children, and I love you. And the reason that I have to chastise you is because sometimes you're getting away, and you're falling apart, falling aside. And the only reason that I do this is because I love you. And if the Lord chastises you, and if you get a spanking from the Lord, I want you to always remember this, it's because He loves you. because He cares. And I see Jesus here as He has healed the leper, as He's healed the blind man, as He's healed the one with palsy. Then I see Him saving the lost, forgiving them of their sins. Now I find here He says, I will send the Comforter. And He'll not only be with you, but He'll live within you. Everybody that's saved this morning has the Spirit of God living in you. As we mentioned in Bible study last Wednesday night, and without the Lord living in your heart, you're lost. Everybody needs the Lord. But He said, I will save, I will heal, I will send the Comforter. And He did. But I have one other thought this morning. And this is so important. Jesus said, I will come again. I'm coming, He said, at a time when most people think not. When they're rocking along feeling like, well, I've got another week, another month, another year. I'm still young. And it's not so urgent. Jesus said, I will come again. Now, the Bible says, let everything be decided, or whatever the word might be, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Determined in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So I want to just bring this to your attention. Did you know the Old Testament prophets talked about the coming of the Lord? Not the first time, but it's coming back again. The Old Testament prophets talked about the Lord coming back again the second time. And I believe every one of them. But I come to the New Testament, and I find that Peter said in the third chapter of 2 Peter, Jesus is coming again. I find that John, the apostle, and I jotted something down, and let me read it. He said, Beloved, now we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. John said, He shall come again. And when He comes, we're going to see Him as He is. And we're going to be changed and be like Him. Brother, I can seemingly hardly wait. If it happens this morning, I'm going to lay aside this mortal body and put on immortality. Hallelujah. I'm going to lay aside this corruptible flesh and put on incorruption. I'm going to have a body like His own. Amen, amen. He said, John said, when He comes, we're going to have a change. Even the angels said He's coming. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And after He said those words, the Bible says there on the Mount of Olives, He began to ascend into the heavens in the first chapter of Acts. And while He was ascending yonder into the clouds, the angels appeared unto the disciples and said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the heavens? The same Jesus that ye see go away is coming back again in like manner as ye see Him go away. The angel said He's coming back again. Paul said He's coming back again. Peter said, and John said He's coming back again. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul said, the Lord is coming with a shout and with the sound of the trumpet. And the dead are going to rise. Brother, that's going to be something. And when they rise with a new body, I'm going to be changed. If I'm still living, I'm going to be changed as well and caught up together with it. Brother, that's going to be a day. I've often said I'd like to be in this church when it happens. I'd like to be preaching when it happens. But wherever I am, when it happens, I intend to be ready. Wouldn't it be something? You've lost a loved one. You go out to the cemetery, stand by the graveside, and memories, standing there just thinking and thanking God for what He's done in your life, and there's going to be another day. And while you're standing beside the graveside of Daddy or Mama, all of a sudden the trumpet sounds. In a split second, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, The graves are open and they come up and you change with them and you go together to meet the Lord. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. You'll be in church. The rapture will take place. He's coming. And you're not ready. And all of a sudden, the pews are vacated. Everybody disappeared. You're left behind. You say, Brother Jones, could that happen? It could happen this morning. It could happen any time. It's going to happen one day. I don't know when, but I want you to remember what I say now. He is coming. And I'm going to close and we're going to sing a chorus. And I want to leave these four things with you. The Lord says, I will save. And He saved my wife and I, February 1955. 57 years ago, almost 58 now, saved. When He saves, He does a good job. I will heal. My wife needs healing now. She's having a difficult time. Not so much with her heart, but with arthritis. Hard to get around. And some other things. But God's the healer. He said, I will send the Holy Ghost. And He did. And He said, I will come again. He hasn't come yet, but He's coming. The Lord is coming. The question is raised this morning. Come on to the piano, honey. We're going to sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. 141. Whenever He comes, I thought He would come before now. He hasn't come yet. If He doesn't come in my lifetime, when they put me in the grave, I will die believing that He's coming. And when that great day comes, I will come out of that grave with a new body. He's coming. If everyone could accept this morning, don't play around with your soul. Don't play around with your eternal destiny. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Every one of us will spend eternity somewhere. He'll either be with God or without God. And I thought, God, You've said, I will. I will 13 times in that 34th chapter of Ezekiel that I read. 13 times He said, I will, I will, I will. Now He's saying, I will come again. We're going to stand and sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And let me just leave this with you this morning. Last Sunday morning when I made the prayer, altar call, and gave the invitation, and Anita raised her hand. I don't know how it makes everyone else feel, and maybe her eyes were closed, but when her hand went up, something turned over in my soul. Some bell began to ring in my soul. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus died. One more, one more, one more. And she's made a start with the Lord. Listen closely today. If you're not a part of the family of God, I invite you, I beg you, everyone, get ready. The Lord is coming. Will you stand together with me?